Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Chalet Hotels Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO of Chalet Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sethi.
Thank you, Sejal. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for today's call. I'm delighted to have with us our Executive Director, Shwetank Singh, along with Nitin, our CFO, and Ruchi, who looks after investor relations on this call. Well, in these dynamic times, we are navigating through a VUCA environment which is amplified by the current geopolitical situation in the subcontinent. Please rest assured that we are closely monitoring the situation and have enhanced security levels at all our hotels, office buildings, and project sites. We are committed to assessing any potential risks to our business, assets, and people, and have implemented contingency plans across all our hotels. While the current peace on our borders may seem fragile, the industry midterm macros remain robust, driven by a favorable demand-supply arbitrage. I'm thrilled to announce today that our board has approved a definitive term sheet for acquiring 15-acre beachfront land in Bambolim, North Goa, for developing approximately 170-room luxury hotel over there. This will be Chalet's second project in the sought-after holiday destination, reflecting our belief in Goa's long-term potential. The Indian hospitality sector continues to benefit from strong tailwinds, with average room rates reaching levels not seen ever, and healthy occupancies. Aside from the last 1 week, domestic air traffic has reported double-digit growth, signaling a significant upswing in business travel demand and experiential consumption. At Chalet, with a focus on luxury to upscale segment, we are well positioned to leverage this trend and expand our leadership in existing and new markets. It's with immense pride that we share that FY25 has been our strongest year to date, with Chalet Hotels delivering standout performances driven by robust business fundamentals, strong operating efficiencies, strategic acquisitions, and timely inventory additions. In Q4, we acquired the Westin Resort and Spa Himalaya for an enterprise value of 5.3 billion rupees, strengthening our position in the high-growth leisure, spiritual, and wellness market. Despite a soft start to the last year due to the model code of conduct, we witnessed a sharp rebound in demand beginning Q3 FY25, driven by a strong recovery in corporate travel, MICE, weddings, and other social events. This momentum continues into Q4, culminating in a year of record revenue and profitability. We achieved the highest ever average room rate, or ARR, of ₹14,345 at portfolio level, with a robust 21% increase year on year. Our highest ever quarterly RevPAR of 10,909 was an additional bonus. Our hospitality segment revenue grew for the quarter by 20% to 4.6 billion rupees, with room revenue rising 27% year on year to 3 billion rupees. Backed by a strong grip on costs and efficient operational execution, we have delivered a high flow through, with hospitality division recording an EBITDA of ₹2.2 billion, a jump of 22%, and a margin of 48.5%, up 60 basis points year on year. On a consolidated basis, the revenue for Q4 stood at ₹5.4 billion, with EBITDA at ₹2.6 billion, and an EBITDA margin of 47.8%, the highest ever in any quarter in the company's history. For the full year, I'm pleased to share that hospitality revenue stood at ₹15.2 billion, while EBITDA climbed to an all-time high of ₹6.8 billion. EBITDA margin for the period for the hospitality division was 44.7%. A little short update on the projects and pipeline under development. Pleased to share that in Bangalore, the market continues to demonstrate robust performance, and we have operationalized earlier in this month an additional 121 rooms at the Bangalore Marriott Hotel Whitefield, bringing the total inventory at that property to 512 rooms, making this hotel the largest hotel in the city, and it aligns with our strategy of working with scale. We are encouraged by strong demand trends in the micro market and look forward to performance of the expanded inventory in the coming quarters. The Duke's Retreat Khandala is undergoing a final stage of upgradation and repositioning. As I mentioned last quarter, 73 rooms are in operation, and by end of this month, the banquet hall and the rooms above will also come into play. The resort will ultimately have 145 keys upon completion, and we are working on ensuring we deliver 100% of the project within H1, hopefully earlier than the end of H1. Work continues to progress well at Taj at Delhi Airport, and the building is now visible after three basement completions, the ground floor completion. We're on the first floor there. So we should look at completing this maybe in quarter three of last year, early part of the quarter three of last year, next year, sorry. Our luxury beachfield front resort at Varka remains on track and is scheduled for completion in FY28. The second commercial tower at Westin Powai Lake Complex Cygnus 2 is progressing on schedule and is expected to be completed in FY27. On our project at Airoli, I'd like to update you that there's been an unexpected delay due to change in the NGT regulations at the center. This has impacted several projects within the radius of 5 kilometers from the national park, and these projects have been moved to the center for file clearances. At our Koramangala Bangalore project, we have obtained the OC now for all 9 towers, which are now being readied for handover. Sales, which commenced in October 2023, have gained strong traction. As of 31st March 25, only 27 units remain unsold. Including legacy sales, we have now sold 92% of the total inventory. In parallel, the development of 2 new residential towers and 1 office block is progressing well. Our progress on sustainability continues to be well recognized. Chalet was included in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, this time with a high score of 67 in February this year. We now rank 6th within the global hospitality communities and the highest hotel company in India. We also earned a B score, which is a high score actually, in the CDP assessment for both climate change and water security. Additionally, our green footprint now covers over 3 million square feet of our portfolio. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to be on the path of a strong growth trajectory. The tailwinds for the industry, combined with Team Chalet's steadfast focus on guest experience and costs, sets us on an exciting path for the next few years. As we step into a new financial year, we remain committed to settling new benchmarks in operational excellence, project execution, and sustainable and value-creative growth. With that optimistic look, I now hand over to Nitin, who will walk you through the financial highlights in finer detail, and then the three of us will take your questions. Nitin.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Quarter 4 FY25 marked yet another quarter of record-breaking performance for the company. For the first time, our consolidated revenue crossed the 5 billion milestone in a single quarter. Notably, on a same-store basis, the hospitality business achieved a significant milestone by attaining a 50% EBITDA margin for the quarter, another first for the company, and a new benchmark in operational efficiency. Annual revenue from the hospitality business surpassed 15 billion for the first time, reflecting solid growth and sustained momentum. Let me now take you through the financial updates for the quarter. In the hospitality segment, ADRs have jumped 21% to cross 14,300. This was led by strong rate growth across geographies, especially the Bangalore, Hyderabad markets, along with the newly added resorts in the portfolio. Occupancy remained stable at 76%, a rise of 30 basis points year-on-year. This in turn drove a 21% increase in RevPAR to 10,909, hence crossing the 10,000 mark for the first time. On a same-store basis, that is, excluding the Duke's Retreat, Courtyard and the newly acquired Westin Resort and Spa, occupancy stood at 79.4% and RevPAR continued to grow by a robust 23% year-on-year. As a result, our room revenue grew by 27% year-on-year for the quarter, while hospitality segment grew by 20%, which stood at rupees 4.6 billion. We have been diversifying into different micro markets with varied cost structures. While we navigated, I am pleased to report that we have maintained sharp focus on cost control strategies and maintained our industry leadership in margins. EBITDA margins for the quarter for the hospitality division was 48.5%, showcasing strong flow-throughs led by our focus on cost efficiencies and regular asset management interventions. On the rental and annuity front, our revenue for the quarter jumped 75% to rupees 619 million. We clocked an exit run rate of rupees 210 million per month in March 25. The EBITDA for the division was at rupees 498 million with 80% margins. As Sanjay highlighted, we have made significant strides in the leasing velocity. As of today, we stand at an overall committed leasing of 77% and lease space of 71% of the available inventory. Coming to the updates on the residential projects, we have sold additional 23 units during the quarter. At the end of FY25, we have now sold 92% of the project inventory and we have reached the last leg of sales for the projects. Flats in phase 1, which comprises of 9 towers, are ready for handovers. Majority of our new sales are for the final 2 towers, which are currently under construction. Hence, for the quarter, our blended selling rate shows a slight moderation to rupees 19,800. Overall collections during the year was rupees 3.9 billion and we have outstanding receivables of rupees 4.1 billion as on 31st March 25. Consolidated revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 5.4 billion, a growth of 27% year on year. Consolidated EBITDA was at rupees 2.6 billion with a growth of 36% year-on-year and a margin of 47.8% for the quarter. Consolidated PBT for the quarter was rupees 1.6 billion, a robust jump of 60% year-on-year. The PAT for the quarter was at rupees 1.2 billion, a strong jump of 50% year-on-year. Now coming to debt, during FY25, the company deployed about rupees 11 billion on capex and strategic acquisition, the highest we have ever done in a single year. These investments are expected to be value accretive to our business over the next 3 to 4 years. As on 31st March 25, the net debt of the company stood at rupees 19.9 billion. We maintained a liquidity position of rupees 3.6 billion in the books. During the quarter, we allotted rupees 750 million of listed non-convertible debentures for the first time and the instrument rated AA- with a stable outlook by CRISIL at a coupon of 8.35%. This instrument provides us with another cost-efficient channel for fundraising and helps us with diversifying our capital structure risk. Overall, we closed the quarter with an average cost of finance standing at 8.4%, a reduction of 47 bps from March 24. In the last board meeting, the company has taken board approval and will be seeking shareholder approval for NCD or commercial paper or any other market-linked debt instrument up to rupees 10 billion. This is an enabling resolution with an objective to keep funding lines available based on future strategic requirements. Capital work in progress along with assets to be operationalized stands at rupees 6.7 billion as on 31st March. The company follows a prudent approach towards capital allocation in actively investing to unlock the next phase of growth.
We have budgeted for capital expenditure under the current plan of around rupees 23 billion to be deployed over the next 3 years, which will be largely funded through internal accruals. We will continue on our growth trajectory, and we have a robust balance sheet to support further strategic growth opportunities. With this, let me open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sameet Sinha from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. A couple of questions. First one is the industry, I mean, obviously we've seen a lot of investments, many international players coming into the market. What is Chalet's right to win in that sort of a situation, as you know, the competition for real estate, labor, everything continues to go up? Secondly, in terms of the interest rate environment, it seems like there's going to be a few more cuts this year. Can you talk to us about what sort of leverage do you have to those rate cuts? Can you bring down your finance costs as those rates go down? Thank you.
Thank you, Sameet. I'll take the first part of the question. So look, Chalet is on the asset owning side of the business. There are not too many people who are actually investing in new hotel projects, at multiple hotel projects in one company. So from the institutional investors, there are not too many. On the brand side, of course, there are many, and therefore it's a crowded brand space. Given that the demand and supply gap continues to be favorable for investments in hospitality going forward, and we have a visibility of next 3 to 4 years where the arbitrage will be positive on the demand supply side, we believe we stand very well. The other thing that holds us well is our cost to build has been far more efficient than most of the people, and our operating costs have been tighter than most other people. 2-3 reasons for that. We put in a lot of effort in designing hotels. Every square foot is accounted for, and one metric that we look at closely is gross built-up area per room. Because that, in the denominator of return on capital employed, is stuck with you for life. So we need to get that right in the first instance. And I think that's going to hold us very well going forward because we've done this efficiently. New projects too, we're focusing hard on this. Even on our cost per square foot, we are marginally better or, say, more efficient than many other developers. So between the two, the denominator is well catered to. Our operating and asset management capabilities keep the numerator high, and therefore we are able to deliver higher return on capital, which will allow us to invest more going forward with the balance sheet size growing. Nitin?
Yeah, on the leverage side, my current cost of capital is 8.4%. We looked at resetting the rates. In April end, we are around 8.35. We are also expecting some resets to set in the month of May as well. We are expecting May end will be around 8.32%. So I hope that answers your question on the leverage part.
I think you also said that there will be some resets by the RBI. Are you positioned well to...
Yeah. The same reset has happened because of RBI. Yeah.
Okay, one final question, if you can sneak that in. So in Rishikesh, can you talk to us about the seasonality in that business and what sort of RevPAR do you get at 60% occupancy? And what is the kind of the occupancy dilution from this property that you expect in fiscal 26?
We don't see any occupancy dilution because the hotel is actually on in the ramp-up phase. It's an early part of its growth cycle. So we're actually expecting a... positive growth on the occupancy side. If you look at the slide number, I think this is 3 or 4, occupancy last year stood at 43% with an average room rate of 26,500. In the later part of the year, we've actually seen rates going north of 26,500, closer to about 27 and 28,000, and occupancy will grow. We probably have a week or two, given where we are in the last, you know, with the situation of the border front, that we may lose this time, but I think we'll catch that up. Shwetank, you want to add anything else?
Yeah, just to add to that, there is, you know, in terms of seasonality, the only period is pretty much a year-round destination. The only period which sort of drops off a little bit is during the rainy season, which is a couple of months when the rains are a bit heavy and, you know, the approach to the hotel becomes compromised to some extent. But other than that, we are, you know, a fairly year-long destination there.
So, I mean, just one addition. In our view, we bought this asset at 11 times 1 year forward.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. If you have a follow-up question, I would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats team on another strong quarter. Sanjay, my first question, you know, in light of the recent geopolitical developments, if you could talk a bit about how are the occupancies and the ARR spending in particular in the past couple of weeks. And more importantly, we've also seen a lot of global countries having issued travel advisories as far as travel to India is concerned.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please use your handset. Your audio is not clear.
Yes, is this better?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Sanjay, in light of the recent geopolitical developments, if you could talk a bit about how the occupancies and the ARRs have been trending, in particular in the past couple of weeks, if you could bifurcate that across the leisure and the business portfolio. And more importantly, with the share of foreign guests increasing to about 39% in FY25, if you could comment a bit about what was the number in fourth quarter and what are the kind of developments that you're seeing on the foreign tourist arrivals front, in particular given we've seen a lot of these global countries having issued travel advisory as far as India is concerned. And also, if you could talk a bit about, you know, the social wedding calendar. The next 2 or 3 weeks has quite heavy as far as the social MICE is concerned. Are you seeing any cancellations over there as well?
Thank you, Karan, for your kind words at the beginning. Look, it has been a volatile last couple of weeks for everyone. To say that we know what's going to come out of it, definitely, I think we'd be fooling ourselves. It's volatile. It seems to be settling down, but as I said in my opening statement, it's still fragile in terms of the peace that we're holding on the borders. To answer your question on the impact on the business, I can give you a bit of an insight into this. Basically, we are trending in May month to date at 12% growth over last year, but we are, from our internal targets, about 9% below the number that we had set ourselves to do when we set our budgets in January of this year. So whilst we continue to have growth, we've been through now 6-7 working days into this situation and 4 weekend days in this situation. So, you know, it has affected us, you know, for 11 days. And I think despite that, if we are getting 12% growth, we should be pretty good.
Sure. This is, just to follow up on this, any thoughts on, let's say, the social calendar also and any cancellations that you're seeing for the rest of the quarter?
We've seen some cancellation on the MICE segments, which were due to happen in that last week or early this week. The others are on wait and watch, pretty much like we are on wait and watch. We believe that if, you know, we get to this week eventless, we should be fairly good. We might have lost a couple of weeks, but that's the only loss. Our growth trajectory should continue within that. The foreigners have a slightly longer time to recalibrate the travel plans. Domestic travel happens at a shorter lead time. So foreigners may take a little longer coming back. To answer one other question that you asked, 42% of the total room nights that we had were through foreign guests for the quarter.
Sure. My second question, in light of these developments and in the past earnings call, you've spoken about double-digit RevPAR growth expectations for the industry for the next couple of years. Do you still expect that, or you think that FY26 could be a bit of a challenge perhaps, and I think FY27 will be a outlook remains unchanged? And what kind of resistance are you seeing on rate hikes from your corporate clients?
I'm pretty confident that double-digit RevPAR growth should be a challenge.
Sure. Just a follow-up, and this will be my last question. Given the positive view on the upcycle in the near to mid-term, and then given the kind of leverage you have on the balance sheet, which is sub 2,000 crores and 3x debt to EBITDA, going forward, given you're somewhere in the middle or potentially close to the peak of the cycle, would you be more aggressive in terms of acquiring assets instead of going ahead with greenfield expansions? And more importantly, what will be your strategy in terms of growth going forward? Because you're already at 20% mix of leisure assets in your portfolio with the Goa acquisition.
Look, balance sheet is strong. Our intent is to grow rapidly. We have quite a few projects in hand, both greenfield and, you know, as you've seen, we acquired four hotels in the last few years also. In terms of where the future growth is going to come, whether it's going to be greenfield or ready assets, I think it's, depending on opportunities, we expect both to happen. We also see some opportunities that may arise, that come up in the group developments in their office complexes. And if some of those work for us, we will look at that aggressively, in which case it could be either land lease or shell lease.
Great. Thanks, Sanjay. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit their question to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, I would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats to the management team for another strong quarterly performance. So I have two questions. My first question is on Goa market. In one of the media briefings, the industry leader spoke about Goa being laggard market compared to the rest during Q4. So if you can help us, our internal assessment of demand-supply scenario for next 2-3 years in Goa would be helpful.
Thank you, Archana. We believe Goa is a very deep market, and it has both very strong mid- and long-term potential. And that's why we're betting big. One land parcel in North Goa, one in South Goa, both beachfront, seafront properties, very nicely scaped out, both in the range of 170 to 190 rooms. I think we get a very strong foothold when we finish developing these properties. In terms of the trends, whilst we've seen some degrowth in some of the segments in Goa and for some months, you've got to remember it comes off a very high base. And on the better properties, which are beachfront properties, we've actually seen the opposite. We've seen growth with them even now. So with that in mind, we have confidence that we will... So we are putting in our thesis about, you know, to be conservative, about 4.5% rate growth. But that's true for our feasibilities. I see no reason why Goa will not grow a double-digit RevPAR growth going forward too.
Sure, sir. And so secondly, on the margin front, this 46% EBITDA margin for FY25 on a like-to-like basis is very commendable. Considering that resort revenue contribution was just at 6% in this year, is it right to assume that there is room for EBITDA margin improvement at as the resort revenue goes up at consol level?
Yes, true. There are quite a few of our projects which are either in an early stage of ramping up. This includes Courtyard by Marriott Aravali. It includes the Western Himalayas. It also includes the Duke's Retreat, which I can share that we are hardly doing any business right now. But when it kicks in, it'll come in very strong. The rates that Duke's have been very comfortably at 15,000-16,000, and we believe guests see value for money in that. So going forward, that should also add. So there are three properties which are in ramp up phase. The rest of them are fairly sort of mature. I think the only other ramp up that will happen is for the additional 120 odd rooms that we're adding in Bangalore. So this is an overview.
Sure, sir. That was helpful. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
One additional point, the 4-point Sheraton Vashi also has about 30% of its inventory, 33% of its inventory out of action as we speak. And all of that will come back when this has already been approved.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janish Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is with respect to our second hotel in Goa. I think we have mentioned that the total acquisition price is approximately 136 crores, but I believe that predominantly pertains to land. So can you share what will be the overall capex per key, including land, and what is the comparable ARR of similar properties nearby, and any indicative timeline of completion?
So, you know, completion will take about 3 years from the time we get the approval. We expect to get the approval in the next 6 to 9 months' time. In terms of average room rates, the competitive market is operating at about between 18 and 21,000 rupees. This will be positioned at the upper upscale to luxury positioning, so it will compete in that price range. Occupancies continue to be high for Goa overall in the low to mid 70s. So all pointers towards doing well. And remember, this hotel is going to open about three and a half years from now.
And to further add, we will position it, if we were to compare it to our own Varka property and how we are looking at it, we would expect a premium of about 10 to 15% on the rate with respect to the Varka property. And therefore, we are not averse to doing a slightly higher capex here per key in order to give the right product positioning to this hotel.
Got that. And just secondly, I just wanted to understand the context behind the enabling resolution taken for the fundraise via NCDs and PPs. I think collectively put together, the amount is roughly about 1250 crores. But I think in FY25, our ECF was roughly about 950 crores. And I think we should generate a healthy cash in FY26 as well, which perhaps can maybe fund our CAPEX requirements. And if also heard you right, you mentioned that our CAPEX requirements will be met by internal accruals. So in that context, any specific reason for this enabling resolution to raise more money via debt?
So, thank you, Dinesh. If you remember, in the last board and in the last earnings call, we had taken an approval of around 600 crores, you know, the debt to be raised through NCDs. Now, this is an enabling provision, enabling resolution for 1,000 crores. We will look at any debt instruments, including CPs. The amount of 250 crores is actually included in this 1,000 crores. These are not immediate requirements, but this will be used as and when required for any strategic reasons. So you're right. Our CAPEX, whatever we have declared, the CAPEX requirements will be met through our internal accruals.
Understood. Sir, one last question from my side on the Koramangala project. I think if I heard you right, you mentioned that we have received the OC and 92% of the inventory is already sold. And I believe one of the requirements to kind of start revenue accretion was getting the OC and having more than 90% of the inventory having sold out. So we have achieved those milestones, but I do not see any revenue accretion happen. So can you just explain by when it will begin?
So, Dinesh, the collection is 90%. The condition was the 92% in terms of collection of flats which are going for possession. So the second condition is actual handover of possession. The actual handover of possession is starting in the quarter one, and probably by July we will be handing over possessions and recognizing revenue in our books as well.
So there will be material recognition of revenue is what we believe in this current quarter.
Yeah. Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Piyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. Sir, can you just highlight about the occupancies for MMR region, specifically JW and Westin Powai?
Sorry, could you repeat that question, please? I'm so sorry, Prashant.
Yeah, I was saying, can you highlight the occupancies and rates for MMR region, specifically for JW, Sahar and Westin Powai, how it has been on a YOY basis?
the year for the year or for quarter four?
For quarter four.
So look, we try not to give individual occupancies and rates because rates become a, in a sense, price sensitive information to the competition. But the occupancies at Sahar were 83%. I'm happy to share that much. And West End was about 76%.
And then, April onwards, are you seeing any impact on occupancy in JW due to Fairmont?
No, we haven't felt any impact of Fairmont as yet. I think, in fact, it's become complementary to our business because both the hotels have large banquet halls, which allow us to do large events, and sometimes we end up sharing the business. We already had, I think, two events where, big events, where both hotels were had a common client. And so far, no impact. I mean, 83% occupancy, rates looking very healthy. Sahar rates grew by 11%. Clearly, the impact's not too much.
Sure. I was just comparing the timeline for commencement of Hyatt Regency Airoli. I believe there's some delay of around 12 to 18 months if I compare the timeline from last PPT versus for Q4. So what is causing this delay?
So, yeah, go ahead, Shwetan.
Okay. Just to clarify, there's actually been a regulation change. And what the approvals that were coming through from the MOEF locally out of Maharashtra has, because of the change by NGT, where if you're within 5 kilometer radius of a protected forest, which in this case would be the Rajiv Gandhi National Park, means that the file will actually have to move to the center for approval. And basically the file is caught between the center and the state as of now. And because of the change, there's a lot of load that has come through to the center. So there is some delay in getting the approvals. It's just, you know, from informal numbers, we hear that there are about 200 projects in Mumbai alone that have been impacted.
Okay. And then on the broader strategy of acquisitions, would you have a outer target of how much debt equity ratio would you want to have or any outer target for inorganic growth that you would like to do so many of acquisitions this year or something like that? I know this can't be, these things can't be fixed as such, but in general, so as to preempt if something is there lined up maybe in the next 6 months or a year time frame for modeling purpose.
So, Prashant, we are a growing company, and we believe there is a lot of headroom for growth going forward. The markets seem to support growth, and whilst I think someone did mention that we are at the peak of the cycle, I don't believe we are at the peak of the cycle yet. We're at least 3-4 years out from that. We will keep our gunpowder dry on our balance sheet to any opportunities on acquisitions, whether they're mergers or acquisitions or greenfield land parcel acquisitions, and we'll continue to grow at a pace to get us to that 5,000 room mark in the next, between operating and pipeline in the next year or so.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Yes, okay, thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Mole from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a good set of numbers. I actually had a question regarding Mumbai market. So Terminal 1 will be shut from November onwards. So that terminal alone used to cater to around 10 to 15 million passengers per year. So what kind of impact do you foresee from the shutdown of Terminal 1?
So we're expecting a positive impact. Our hotel is in Terminal 2. And what we've been told is 5 million passenger capacity will be shifted to Terminal 2, and the balance will go to the Navi Mumbai Airport as and when that opens. So we're actually expecting a positive outcome of that. Our hotels are in very short distance from Terminal 2. And also what will happen is with the Navi Mumbai Airport opening, we believe two things are going to happen. One, the cargo aircrafts will be split now between both the airports, which will free up passenger carrying capacity more, because the constraint is not terminal so much, it is the landing capacity that hinders growth from Mumbai. So we believe that there will be a positive impact on the second airport opening. People who have to travel to the mainland side will use the Navi Mumbai airport. People who have work or business in the main city, or the island city, will land at T2. So positive in all aspects.
Understood. My second question was on your rental annuity business. Currently, you mentioned your committed occupancy stands at 77%. So when can this occupancy we expect to reach, above 90% or so?
So, look, we missed some of the stated deadlines earlier. So I hesitate to give new dates. But, we are within that 2 or 3 quarter range now, roughly.
Okay.
That we'll get to 90%+. Rates have been higher than we had, shared earlier. So to some extent, the gaps are being made up by rates. And because office leases are typically longer leases, about 8-9 years, once they get to 90%+ occupancy, it stays pretty stable at 90%+ comfortably.
Great. All right, sir. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your question to one per participant. If you have a follow-up question, I would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Abhay Khaitan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on that on the ARR growth, we see that the strongest growth have been seen in the Hyderabad and the Bangalore market. And the growth is actually higher than what we have seen across the industry. So just wanted to understand what are the factors that has enabled such a strong growth in these cities for the quarter? And do you think this is sustainable going forward?
Yes, it is very sustainable for sure, Rabe. I'll tell you two, three things that are happening. Bangalore was a late starter to go back to normalization post-COVID and now sort of come back to its own where it was in pre-COVID numbers. Add to that the capacity addition that we've done at Bangalore. It'll again help us immensely because Mondays to Fridays largely sold out. The rates have been very strong, and because the new supply has been limited, we expect the rates will continue to grow in both markets. Hyderabad has been a pleasant surprise to everyone over the last 1.5 years, and it continues to stay strong and robust. Again, on Hyderabad, the supply is limited. A couple of announcements have happened, but they're in early stages of planning, so we're at least 3-4 years out.
Got it. Thank you. If I can squeeze in just one more. What we have seen is that the last three major announcements that we have seen from the Chalet side has been on the tourist locations, two in Goa and one in Rishikesh. And whereas we see that, the recent surge in ARR growth and the supply-demand mismatch that we have been talking about is mostly focused for the cities. So is there can we assume that is there a strategical shift for the company to shift more towards the leisure locations? Because historically, we had more assets in the metro cities and focused more on the business travelers. So do we see that this strategy and do we see the strategy going forward as well?
So, what we've done was, in fact, last about 3 or 4 years back, we had stated our strategy that we'd like a small play in the leisure side of the business. And we were doing diversification on 3-4 fronts. One was the geographical diversification, and we were de-risking our business from, one or two geographies. By expanding the geographies, we've done that in Delhi, we've done that in Rishikesh, we've done that in Pune, and so on and so forth, and Goa now. The other diversification was in category or segment of a target audience that we were addressing, and that's where the leisure resorts came into play. We had stated that we'd like ideally 20% of our portfolio to be in the leisure space. We are clearly much below that right now. We believe that we'll be able to take best advantage if we have both sides of the segments catered to. Finally, we had the asset class diversification, and that's where we did two things. We revived the residential project, and we expanded the size of the project for our office portfolio, which office portfolio will tend to give an annuity income and EBITDA, which will support us through any risk of down cycles ever in future. And so we've done that for life now. And it is material. Nitin mentioned earlier, our exit income in March was 21 crores. That's going to grow pretty rapidly to the next few quarters. And as we add more office assets, we are hopeful that we will hit overall, income north of 450 odd crores from the announced pipeline of offices that we have. So that these diversifications overall was the strategy, and we are executing to strategy.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for answering.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Melit from Jefferies Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a follow-up to the previous participant's question. So you highlighted that 9% is the kind of impact on revenue target basis, the recent developments, the cross-border situation. So, I mean, is it possible to sort of bifurcate that even qualitatively between MMR and outside MMRs, the kind of RevPAR or revenue impact you may have seen?
I can't give you exact numbers, but I can tell you that Bangalore and Hyderabad have got impacted the worst because of the nature of the target audience, which is foreign travelers coming into the hotels for ITES and GCC businesses. Leisure has taken a halt also. We see Courtyard by Marriott Aravali and the Rishikesh Hotel or the Himalaya Hotel getting impacted on transient as well as some group business. Group includes weddings. No major cancellation of the wedding till date, but we've lost some conferences, which was due to happen this last week.
Okay, got it, sir. And clarification, so on the Airoli project, you mentioned that what is the new kind of start date or start that we can expect going ahead?
Difficult to put a date on it because it's lying with the central government. But I don't see this starting for another 6 months at least. Right, Shwetank?
Yeah. I don't. 6 months is the minimum we should expect here.
Okay. Thank you, and congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Murtaza Karziwala from Kotak Bank. Please go ahead.
Just want to check, you did put out a target of about 5,000 keys in a year or two, and you've been moving pretty rapidly in that direction. Any sense that, would you want to pursue more growth opportunities should they come your way? And will the 5,000 keys be comfortably supported by the balance sheet, at the pace that you're looking to do it? Just some sense on how you're looking, because the way we see it, Chalet has obviously been most aggressive amongst the PSS in terms of adding new assets. So how does the balance sheet support, and how are your medium-term targets affiliated with that number of 5,000 users?
Thank you, Murtaza. Yeah, so look, I think the internal accruals are getting stronger by the day. And that's in turn strengthening the balance sheet. We are also keeping our gunpowder dry in way of future credit facilities, if required, to prop up any acquisition opportunities that we get. We've also worked, our business development team is also working on opportunities on locations that we've identified as potential high growth locations going forward. So we would like to be so let me put it like this. We see many more of the new announcements now coming up for big city business hotels going forward.
Okay.
So that's where we're going to likely to focus on. And I think we have the bandwidth through our balance sheet, management capabilities, execution capabilities, and the India opportunity are strong to support this strategy for us.
So you need not necessarily stop at 5,000 keys, because you are already at 4.5 with all of the BD that you've done in the last 12 months or so.
5,000 was a holding number because I was asked that question. And I did say that it will be within the next, year or so.
Yeah. Amit, thank you.
So does that answer your question?
Yep.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ali Asghar Shakir from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had a question on, some more color on the RevPAR growth. So, if I see a couple of numbers, one is your, occupancy for business versus resorts. Of course, your resort occupancy is relatively at a lower level, maybe because, your hotel probably, a couple of them have come recently. And also, I mean, when I split that further into, you know, your FTA versus domestic travel, the resort segment has, you know, very low foreign, you know, I mean, travel. So, I mean, if you can just give some color in terms of the scope of RevPAR growth coming from the resort space and whether you think that, you know, the improvement in foreign travel within the resort space can give you more room to, you know, improve your RevPAR over the next 2 years.
Thank you, Aryaskar. Look, the resort RevPAR performance has three or four current dynamics to it. One, the two acquired resorts of Courtyard by Marriott Aravali and Himalaya are in the early years of ramp up. So what will we see growing there is occupancy-led growth, holding the rates or maybe growing the rates at 4, 5, 6% so that we can get RevPAR growth, which is comfortably in the double digits. That will be our strategy going forward. The current geopolitical situation is not affected because we are talking about March 31 numbers. This did not start then. We expect that the coming season for weddings is going to be extremely strong, and we expect a massive pickup on both these locations there. The second element to the resort side was Dukes, where we have a very small inventory without the banquet facilities, and from Mondays to Fridays, Dukes will have to rely on MICE business. As that comes into operations, say by end of this month or early next month, we will have that capability to fill out the Mondays to Fridays also. So within this, I think our resort portfolio will start showing higher RevPARs.
Got it. And also the foreign travel point that I was highlighting, given that that is the lowest, of course, I know in the current environment that could be a little challenging, but the scope of growth in RevPAR because of that segment being very small in your resort.
So resorts are unlikely to have to, a large element of foreign travel. It will remain, you know, in the no single digits. From resort to resort, it may differ, but overall, it'll stay in the low single digits, and we don't expect any foreign travel happening.
Understood. This is very clear. If I can just squeeze in one more quickly on your leverage. So you did mention that, you know, you are focused on 5,000 rooms and, you know, trying to drive that with, you know, some leverage. But just, you know, I mean, wanting your thoughts from the point of view that while, you know, you still believe that we are away from the peak, but, you know, I mean, in terms of keeping some room, you know, so that if there are any contingencies the way we saw in the last couple of weeks, we are not, you know, I mean, at a very high leverage. What are your thoughts on that point?
Sure. Aliaskar, you're right. We need to be cautious. What we've done is we're taking enabling resolutions to keep the balance sheet capability for growth available to us, but we're not going to jump into the deep end of the pool right away.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Saurav Jain from HDFC Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
For the opportunity, I just had one question. So can you comment on the performance of the resort that you acquired in NCR, that is Courtyard by Marriott Aravali? I'm seeing that you did about 75 to 80 crores of revenue, but can you comment on the EBITDA and the growth numbers YOY? Because it's been about 13 months that since you have acquired assets. So just want to understand the build up on that.
So, sir, we don't give individual hotel numbers because it becomes sensitive, competitive information, and it sort of creates a problem. And we used to do that several years back, and then we were told, why are you leaving, you know, giving away your individual hotel numbers? But let me share two things about that resort. It is in its third year of operation. And as we promised earlier, we are repositioning the resort from a Courtyard by Marriott to Marriott. The work has just started, and we expect by October, November, Shatran?
Yes.
Let's say November to be safe. We will be in a position to rebrand this as Marriott, which will position us differently on the competitive set and allow us growth. Wedding segment is strong there. Wedding season will start, and we expect that to do well.
And the revenue growth number, because that you have already disclosed in the presentation. So any growth numbers in terms of how is it grown in FY25? Just the revenue growth number would be helpful.
So, Ruchi, just briefly, it's 10% is the revenue growth. So what we were saying was that we had double-digit growth on the resort. And, you know, from our perspective, we had looked at buying this at about 11, 12 times 1 year forward EBITDA. We're largely within that range now.
Your comments on the peak debt level, you're close to about 2,000 crores on net debt side. Significant CapEx is pending for FY26 and 27. So just your comment on what is the peak debt that you see?
So peak debt, we'll come back to you in a bit with the numbers. We've just added this new project in our pipelines. And we are also waiting to see what the cycle for payouts or spends will be for Airoli, because that will impact the peak debt, because if it's spread out a little longer, then the peak debt will remain low. But, you know, we are conscious of the fact that we'd not like to be, we'd like to be south of 3.5 times for sure. In fact, hopefully in the 3 range.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt, sir. I will request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Rajiv from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the sir, regarding, is it to mean that Varka and Mambalan both will be under the Duke's flag? And
no, not true.
Okay, so... And let's say on the leisure side, how do we work out in terms of the peak profitability in this case? Will it be better than what your city hotels are?
So, you know, what happens is 2-3 dynamics for leisure hotels. Once they're stable compared to business hotels. One is business hotels are typically larger, and so you get the benefit of scale on their cost side. Leisure hotels are typically smaller in the range of about 120 to 180, 200 rooms max. So you don't get that much of benefit of scale. But the average room rates are typically higher in leisure hotels. Occupancy is typically slightly lower in leisure hotels. On a blend, the RevPAR in a mature leisure hotel is higher than most city hotels. But costs also slightly higher. If you noticed, our leisure portfolio, the number of employees per room is significantly higher, and therefore, on a blended basis, our employee per room has shifted to 1.1. So those costs have to be carried through. We expect leisure hotels to be largely in the range as the overall portfolio, maybe a percent or two lower than the business hotel average. But then again, we expect our leisure portfolio to be less than 20% of the total portfolio. I've been corrected. The employee to room ratio now blended is 1.01.
Sure. And one minor thing, this is regarding your the cancellations with you. How much forward booking is affected? Is it only till Q1 or we are seeing with the Q2 also getting hit?
So far, we know May is affected. We had cancellations for May. June, as of now, no strong indications of cancellations. I think one or two groups have been affected. But, you know, for now, we don't have any further information. We don't see any impact in Q2 if things settle down in the coming week, 10 days or so.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. So my question is again on the cancellation. You mentioned that
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
Is it better?
Yes, sir.
Much better. Thank you.
Yeah. So, thanks for giving me the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. So, my question is again on the business you have lost for last 11 days. Is there any chance of some of this business, you know, getting covered up in the coming quarters, or whatever, you know, expectation is in terms of the growth we have been looking in cities like Bangalore and Hyderabad? Is it fair to assume that this, you know, the consistent growth in these markets would help to cover up, you know, some part of business you have lost in the last 10 to 11 days?
So, you know, course, sir, your guess can be as good as mine on this. I haven't watched the news for the last 1.5 hours, and we know the world changing so rapidly. We don't know what's happened in the last 1.5 hours. But the peace seems to be holding. Our Prime Minister sent a very strong and clear message yesterday. I think the intervention by US, if any, we don't know whether that's true or not, has clearly brought sanity to the region. And we continue to hope that we will not have any other incursions or interactions between the two countries at border. And if that happens, we see no reason why June won't come back as strong as before.
And just to add to that, Kostov, particularly in the MICE segment, whilst we have had some cancellations, a lot of them have opted for pushing it forward, not necessarily completely. So there is clearly an opportunity, space being available, of course, because there's limited space that we have on the conferencing side. Space being available, they are not actually fully cancelled. They have just been pushed forward. So.
Right. And just addition to that, U.S. is signing, deals with the countries now, trade deals. It is expected it will get signed with India soon. So what kind of business opportunity in a sense, indirect business opportunity you are expecting from this deal signing to happen?
The cost of, in our foreign traveler mix, U.S. is 60% of the foreign travelers. And companies based out of there, if they get better trade conditions, and we can see that India seems to have got some preferential treatment on that, though we're still waiting for the final wording, will keep us competitive. And therefore, we expect the businesses to grow. And if those businesses grow, we expect to get a lot more room nights from that segment.
Thanks. So, thanks.
The way it looks now should be a positive.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, given the time constraint, the management will be available for any pending questions offline. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sethi for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's been a very exciting quarter for us, and I think that only doubles up the excitement that we have for the next 3 or 4 years. With the growth in the portfolio, stabilizing the assets and rolling out really high margins in the portfolio. As we get better going forward, we will expect hospitality margins to grow, and we'll definitely expect the office margins, rental margins, to then contribute significantly to growth of the consolidated EBITDA margins. Thank you again. Have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Chalet Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.